John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And it would be really good of you to open your Bibles again to John chapter 10, page 1077 in my Bible. I think it's the same in yours, is it? John 10, and my text for this evening is verse 28. But with this open in front of us, let's bow our heads and seek the Lord's help together. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Father, may that be true of us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning was a real joy for us at Silver Street, but I titled my message this morning as I began to preach with a very odd title for you guys, which is, "What's Happened to Joe?" It seems like an odd thing, but what has happened? What had happened to this man? Now, we had the privilege this morning of listening to him tell his story. And if we were to pick some of the language from John 10 in this story we've read, we could describe a number of ways what happened to this man called Joe. So he is someone who believes Jesus. So there's this working out in our story as we read it earlier that Jesus is kind of involved in this debate, as it were, with these leaders, and they're saying, "You don't believe me. You don't believe that I'm the Messiah." So we could say that in one way, Joe believed. Another way we could say that he listened to the voice of Jesus, verse 27, and he started to follow him. That's another way we could describe it. We could also pick a picture this passage gives us and say, what's happened to Joe? He's become one of Jesus's sheep. Now, that may not be a very flattering title for some of you, to turn around to Joe this morning and say, "You're a sheep." Some people would think that's an insult, but actually we're all sheep. But whose sheep are you? And Joe has become one of Jesus's sheep. That's how we could describe what happened to Joe who we baptized this morning. But for what this evening, what I'd like to do is to simply hand over the microphone for a moment to the Lord Jesus. And rather than Joe, from his camera angle, telling us what happened, he believed, he listened, he followed, I want to give the microphone to Jesus to allow him to tell us what Jesus has done for Joe. That's verse 28. And it's not just what he's done for Joe, but it's what he does for everyone who belongs to him. So listen carefully. Look at verse 28. This is what Jesus says. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Three things this evening that the Lord Jesus does, he gives to those who belong to him. three things tonight that if you are here as a believer in Jesus, I hope will do your heart good tonight. Truths that you should cling to and love in this week ahead and in this life that we've been given. And if you're not here as a believer this evening, then these are three things that I hope you walk out of here saying, I really want them. And actually, three things you can have if you would listen to Jesus and become one of his sheep. So you ready for the three things? Thing number one, here it is. Jesus gives the best life. What's happened to Joe? What's happened to any of us who belong to Jesus? Jesus gives the best life. Mr. Kipling. You all know Mr. Kipling? Mr. Kipling is a man who makes cakes. But he doesn't just make cakes, he makes exceedingly good cakes. Cakes in his claim, in his world, that are far better than anyone else's cakes. Exceedingly good cakes. Any other cake on the shelf is not as good as Mr. Kipling's because they exceed anyone else's. Now, in a similar way to Mr. Kipling's claim that he makes cakes that exceed others, the Lord Jesus gives to believers something that far exceeds anything else that you can have in this world. Look again at verse 28. I give them eternal life. Now, what is this eternal life, this best thing? Well, I want to describe it for us this evening as life with God. Or perhaps I could put it another way, life restored to God, as opposed to life without God. He gives this life to all who belong to him, who listen to his voice and follow him. And he describes it, if you just look back to chapter 10 and verse 10, he describes it as life to the full. This is exceedingly good life, the best life you can have. It is life with God. In John's Gospel, and we're only scratching the surface, and I know you're doing some John's Gospel stuff on Sunday mornings, but in John's Gospel, this word life must not be confused with the word existence. We all exist, right? You're existing right now? Some of you definitely are. Some of you don't look like you are. We're existing. Our hearts are beating. We are here. In fact, believe it or not, we're all eternal existers. We will live forever. But the life that he's describing here is much bigger than just you existing. You sitting in a chair with a heart beating. It's more than that. Let me just read you some words from John 17. You don't need to turn there. John 17, verse 3. And Jesus says this. Now this is eternal life. This is what he's describing. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life, as it's described here, eternal life, is knowing God and being known by God. One man puts it like this: eternal life isn't so much as existing forever, but it's about knowing personally the one who exists forever. Knowing God. And friends, this is the life that we were made to have. This is the life that Adam and Eve enjoyed when they were in the Garden of Eden. They walked with God. They talked with God. They were known by God and loved by God and provided for by God. That was life. Life in the garden. But tragically, it was life, this knowing God, that was ended in the Garden of Eden. The Lord said to them, if you eat the fruit from a certain tree, you will surely die. And at that moment, their heart didn't stop beating, they didn't collapse to the floor, but suddenly they were thrown into life without God, rather than life with God. They lost life. They lost this intimacy with God that they enjoyed. And in Jesus, this life, the life that was there in Eden, is restored to sinners like us. We can be restored to life that we were made for. And this word that's translated eternal life. In some of the older English translations, is life of the age to come. It's actually literally how it's translated out of the original language, life of the age to come. Now just think about that for a moment. This is what Jesus gives you, life that belongs to the future. Life that belongs to the existence that we will have in heaven. So think about this. I know it's a warm evening, but think carefully about this. That means that right here, right now, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you have the same relationship with God that you will have for all eternity, because that is the life that you have been given by Jesus. Life of the age to come. Friends, that is life to the full. That is exceedingly good life. Do you know, Mr. Kipling has another... Anyone's going to think I'm obsessed with cake. I'm sorry about that. Mr. Kipling has another less well-known advertising campaign. And it is this. Life is best with cake. Amen? What? You see, we may not agree, okay, we may not agree with Mr. Kipling, although some of you are nodding. We may not agree with Mr. Kipling, but can I tell you that actually we spend a lot of our life trying to finish that sentence off. Life is best with cake, maybe, a relationship, with a healthy bank balance. Life is best if I've got a good set of exam results coming up and I can get into the uni I want or the college I want. Life is best, dot, dot, dot. How do you finish that, right, that sentence off? But actually, Jesus says, no. Good things. Cake is a good thing. I like cake. But it's not the best thing. It is not the best thing you can have in life. The fullest thing, the most exceedingly great thing is life with God. Restored to the God who made us and who loves us, and to be known by him and to know him. That is life to the full. And my challenge for myself and for you is that as you return to the Monday mayhem of trying to find what will give you the best life, because that's what our world is chasing, will you head out tomorrow and believe, if you're a Christian, that you have the best thing already? Will you head out tomorrow and say, yes, in knowing God and being restored by the Lord Jesus to God, I have already the most exceedingly good thing I could have in life. Christian, do you believe that? Does what you chase, what you pursue, what you give your time and energy to show that you believe that to be true? Jesus gives us the best life. What had happened to Joe down at Silver Street? What had happened to any of us in this room, if we belong to the Lord Jesus? Very simply, Jesus gives us the best life. Now notice it's given. It's not earned. It's not merited. It's not because you're cleverer than other people. It is given to you. John 5, Jesus says that this is the life that he has in himself. It is his to give. And he gives it to those who belong to him, who listen to his voice and follow him. Jesus came into this world and he went to a cross, taking our eternal death, taking the being cut off from God that we deserve, so that he might turn to a sheep like me and he say, I give you eternal life. I restore you to God who made you and who loves you and who knows you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you either sit here this evening as someone with that life or without that life. You either have life with God or you have life without God. Life is best with God. Number two, Jesus takes away our fear of hell. I've been getting to know a man over the last couple of years who's got himself involved in a pretty messy situation and is awaiting a court verdict. And basically, he's living in fear. I meet with him maybe every few weeks. It's getting increasingly less often. But he lives in fear. It's terrifying watching him of this day when they cast their verdict over him. Will he be guilty or not guilty? Will he go to prison or will he go free? And this man is gripped by fear of that day when he hears the results. Now, in a similar way, there is a day of judgment looming over all of us. It's a day when the Lord Jesus will return and call us to account for the way that we have treated our Maker. It's a day that Jesus speaks of in verse 28. But for those who belong to the Lord Jesus, who have heard his voice and listened to him and followed him, it's a day that he takes away the fear of. See, look at verse 28. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Perish is a word in John's gospel that refers to hell. It refers to judgment, to condemnation. It's a big word we use, isn't it? But it refers to that. Think about probably one of the most famous verses in John's gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, be sent to hell, condemned for their sins. Instead, they will have eternal life, restored to God, a relationship that starts now and lasts forever. It's the destruction that we deserve. It's to perish. I don't know if you've thought about this afresh recently, but to perish is what we deserve for the way we have treated God our Maker. To be condemned is what we deserve. And even as I stand here as a sheep of the Lord Jesus, even much of my current behavior deserves condemnation. But at the cross, Jesus perished in my place. He took the punishment that I deserve, my perishing, so that he could turn to someone like me and say, Nathan, you will never perish. He gives to his sheep the gift of no perishing, no fear of hell. Many of you will know my littlest boy, Zebulun. And at the moment, he's learning to talk. And when he's really serious about something, he uses two words together. So, for example, if I'm trying to tickle him, he's like, no, no, daddy, no, no. He puts two no's together. It's very serious. Or if you try and steal some cereal from his bowl, he says, no, no, daddy, no, no. Can I tell you that in the original language, do you know what Jesus says in this verse? He says, no, no, perish. He put two no's next to each other. Why? Because he's absolutely serious about this. This is never going to come true. You will never perish. He says, this is no, 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 perish. No, no, perish. Definitely not going to happen. Friends, hell is something to be feared. To perish is a dreadful thing. But as Jesus gives us the best life, eternal life, restored to God, he takes away the fear of hell for all who belong to him. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, like my Zebby, no, no, perish. He doesn't say it like Zebulun, but he says, no, no, perish. And friends, is this a truth that you need to hear this evening? If you're like me, you carry around with you the guilt of past sins. And they pop up. Do you find that this guilt just pops up at the strangest of times? Or why did I do that? Or why did I say that? Maybe you keep falling into the temptation of the same old sin. And it brings you to doubt your eternal security. And it brings you to doubt your inheritance. We sing together, don't we? When Satan tempts me to despair. Do you know that experience? I do. When he whispers into your ear, oh, Nathan, you must have blown it this time. Are you sure? Are you sure you're secure in your eternal destiny? Look at the way you're behaving. But what do we say? Upward I look and see him there who made an end to my sin. Upward I look at the one who says to me, Nathan, no, no, perish. Definitely not perish. Never perish. We sing as well, don't we? No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. When am I tempted to most fear hell? When are you tempted to most fear hell? My guess that it will be when we take our eyes off Jesus and we start to put them on ourselves. Because our confidence that we will not face hell is not in our performance. It is only in the promise of Jesus. When my eyes drop to myself, that's when I start to fear hell. So what's happened to Joe? What's happened to any of us who belong to the Lord Jesus? Jesus takes away the fear of hell. And number three, Jesus provides 24/7 protection. Some friends came around a couple of Fridays ago, and they very kindly bought a bag of sweets for my children. And I was very good, very disciplined. I refrained, and I opened them for the children, not for myself. And self-righteous up here. So I started to distribute them out on the Saturday, and I was handing them around, and my Levi, he grabbed a little handful of them, and then he popped a couple in, and then he closed his hand around one of his sweets. We then got in the car, and we drove off somewhere to the shops. We needed to get some stuff, and his hand, when we got out of the car, was still firmly shut. I was like, Levi, what's in your hand? My sweet. I was like, okay, that's fine. So we're walking around the shops, and then I went to hold his hand at one point, and his hand is still closed. I said, Levi, what's in your hand? It's still my sweet. So at that point, I started to have fun. I started to try and poke it out the sides. I said, come on, look, you got to hold my hand. No. Come on, you got to hold my hand. And I was trying to poke out the sweet, but he would not let it go. It's his sweet in his hand, and he was not letting go. And if any of you know my Levi, you know you are never getting that sweet. But that is the picture that we are given by Jesus in verse 28. Look at verse 28. The third part of the phrase, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Where are you right now? In some ways, we're sitting in Enfield Evangelical Free Church's building. In some ways, we could say we're in Enfield. But you know, that's all true. But there's another way that if you belong to Jesus, you can think of where you are tonight. You are safe. Secure in the hand of Jesus. He keeps his sheep, not his sweet, he keeps his sheep in his hand. And that, friends, is good news tonight. Because these words of Jesus allude to the fact that there are many enemies who will try and snatch us away from the hand of Jesus. There are the enemies that are without, the enemies outside of us. We didn't read it all, but John 10 lists some of those enemies. Wolf, and thieves and robbers. But as we kind of spread that over the scriptures, what do we see? The enemies without of us? Well, we have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. His tactics are varied. And what does he want? He wants you to perish. He wants to snatch you from the hand of Jesus. He does not want you having any confidence in Jesus. There's other enemies without, false teachers. There are many people who will teach you what is false about the Lord Jesus in a bid to poke you out the side, to draw you away from the place of safety, from listening to the voice of Jesus. There are other things outside of us that act as our enemies. For some of us, it will be relationships that are just pulling our hearts away from the Lord Jesus. A torn loyalty. Relationships that we need to remove from. Now, we need to hear this promise tonight. Especially tonight if we're sitting here and you can feel the breath of the enemy on your neck and you're thinking, this is tense. No one, Jesus says, will snatch you out of my hand. As those who believe Jesus, those who listen to his voice and continue to do so, we are safe in the hand of our Lord Jesus. No one will rob us of our eternal life. No one will lead us into temptation, that draws us away from Jesus. No one will destroy the work that Jesus has begun. Is that a truth that you need to be reminded of tonight? Is that a truth that you need to take and rub into your heart this week as you head out? It is as we press on in listening to the voice of Jesus and following him that we can hear this promise: you are safe in the hand of Jesus. But it's not just the enemies without, because actually it's the enemy within that we're safe from. I don't know if you've ever used this phrase, but we do use it, don't you? You're your own worst enemy. You ever said that to someone? You're your own worst enemy. It's the sort of thing a parent might say to a child, isn't it? But you know what? Baptizing Joe this morning just made me look back a little bit on my Christian life. I've realized today that I've been a follower of the Lord Jesus for about 27 years. And as I go on following the Lord Jesus, do you know what? I increasingly feel this to be true, that my greatest enemy is within me. It is my own heart, it is my own sinfulness that tugs me away from Jesus, that chases other things that it perceives as better. But the glorious protection of Jesus, and get this is so cool, the glorious protection of Jesus means that I am safe even from myself. Jesus says, no one will snatch you from my hands, even if that no one is me. That's brilliant, isn't it? One writer puts it like this: with this 24/7 protection of Jesus, he says that youth, young people, children, youth with all its passions will be navigated safely. With all those pressures that are on you guys to chase things and to love things and to do what you're called to do as teenagers, it will be navigated safely if you're in the hand of Jesus. All the whirls of business of middle age, whatever that means. I think it just means the busyness of life that you get into in this middle period of life where you've got this to do and that to do and you're busy doing this and you're busy doing that. Even this period of time will be navigated safely. Old age with its infirmities and fears and death's gloomy veil shall be passed in safety. Why? Because you're in the hand of Jesus. Friends, when you feel like your own worst enemy, when you feel like it's you who's going to snatch you out of Jesus' hands, then you've got to remember this promise of Jesus, that you are safe in the hand of our Lord Jesus. Will you do something with me for a moment? It's maybe a bit weird. I've got a very visual mind. But I want you to imagine that here we are, right? We're all bundled in and we're standing in the hand of Jesus. Look around you. You know, imagine that you're in a hand for a moment. Now look down. What are you standing on? You're standing on the scars of Jesus' hands. Scars that scream to us that you are safe from those who oppose you because the Lord Jesus overcame them at the cross. Scars that scream at us that you're forgiven of every sin you have committed and will commit. Scars that assure us of his protection. You don't just stand in a hand, you stand in a scarred hand. The scars of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our assurance comes from, for our protection and our safety. The ultimate security of Jesus' sheep does not rest with you. It does not rest with me. It rests in Jesus, our Savior. For I am convinced, Paul says in Romans, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, this is a big list, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Three promises of Jesus to those who belong to him. He gives us the best life. We really have the best thing, exceedingly good life. He takes away the fear of hell, and he provides us with 24/7 protection. And if you're sitting here this evening as a follower, I hope those are promises that you cling tight to this week. But if you're not a follower of Jesus, then the question is, do you want these three things? Do you want these three things that the Lord Jesus can give you? Then you need to belong to his flock. You need to listen to his voice and follow him. You must believe him. The person who, under a deep sense of sin, who flees to Jesus, is the one that Jesus can say, verse 28 to. He's the one who will say to you, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And if you will follow Jesus, he will say that to you tonight. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Our Father in heaven, many of us who've been hanging around for church for some time will remember singing an old hymn that talks about standing on the promises of you, God, our Savior. And we would simply want to ask this week that you would help those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus to stand on his wonderful promises. Forgive us so often that we chase other things, thinking they'll be the best, that they will give us the best life. Father, may we believe. May you give us the faith to see that what we've been given by Jesus is the best thing, the best life we can have. Father, please help us when we begin to fear hell, to lift our eyes to Jesus, the one who perished in our place, that we might follow him. And Father, we pray, please, that you will continue to protect us, even from ourselves. Father, we so feel like our worst enemy sometimes, and we ask that we would know that protection this week. Help us to keep listening to the voice of Jesus and following him, listening to these wonderful promises that he gives to those who belong to him. Help us, please, to stand on these promises this week. In Jesus' name, amen.